I just thought about that. I thought about whether the redundant player is actually exempt. And I would say that possibly at times you could use that argument when there's something really exhausting going on. But I think in general, no. In other words, when things are flowing and it's happening and it's not a big strain, then I think you should do that. It may be at times when physically someone gets, then there's so much of a demand that you can't keep track. Maybe, but and then, you know, if you don't chant, then other people aren't going to chant either.
That's true. I could chant. I just have to be a little more conscious, that's all.
Yeah, and so that's, I mean, playing music means you've got to be conscious of what you're playing, and you've got to be conscious of, you know, the beat and instruments.
Even I think that might help. If I chant, then I'll get a better sense of your rhythm.
Arrival 6:45 is my turn. Arrival 12:43. Okay. 12:43. Say that again.
I think even if I did chant, then I'd get a better sense of rhythm into it. So
it'd probably actually. So generally, the obligation is to chant.
Right.
And then, but maybe under certain circumstances, it can be absolved from that. And then the other thing is that we don't want to be too good a mridanga player. Because we don't want to be mridanga players, we want to be devotees.
Right.
And, I mean, that's, for me, it's sort of a blessing. I don't have time. I'm lucky if I learn 2 melodies a year, unless they happen to be. And I don't have time to really learn how to play harmonium properly, or I just sort of, what I learned when I was a kid playing piano, that's what I know, and that's what I do.
You had your book of melodies there, I saw, and you could, when you opened it up, you were practicing just from that.
Well, those are just written, because I forget.
That's very good, though, that you can, that's very useful.
Well, reading music is always a useful thing to be able to read. I remember, one or two current tunes, but then there's some that are sort of like welded into my brain, so now I can just, the other one is, I forget, I have to look at them, and then, then I realize that actually after I do look at them, it's not, I don't remember them. They're sort of like in the fingers. The fingers know where to go.
Huh.
They're there in the subconscious. I mean, you must do that because they're different beats for different tunes.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I just gotta go to the bathroom for a bit, put it on. Next door, Balaram Baba, Brenda. just a few are sort of Western melodies or old disco melodies that have been changed. But everyone sort of personalizes melodies. That's what they end up sounding different. You know, the Madhuri sings, I don't know about the Haikuru's melody, then he sings it his way. But if I sing Indra's melodies, then I sing a little different. But that's alright, everyone has their own.
What's that? Do that, you really need to get the experience.
Right.
And as I was talking this morning, there are so many conceptions of what community is. You have to really be clear about what kind of community you want to develop. That's rural zoning, but if you rezone an area for it to be non-rural but urban or suburban or whatever, then you can change that. That's not unusual. That we had similar thing in Hungary as well. We just had to rezone the area, and it just takes time. But it's not impossible.
Okay.
And 5 acres, you know, people, if they have 5 acres of land, they don't know what to do with it.
Right.
It's too much. You don't need it for a garden. You don't. It's full time work. Even how much? We have, in the present has 600 square meters, which is even about a 20th of an acre is plenty. If it gets too big, it just takes away too much time and energy.
Right. then you have to maintain it by cutting the lawn. It just seems so practical.
Yeah, and that that takes that means that you sort of establish that you've got individual householders with their individual gardens, making their possibly their own individual arrangements for living, and which is one form, but it's different than a communal. If it's something communal, then they don't want things that are too big, because then they distract from the communal effort.
Right.
Hey, can you open the door? Just call Shambhi Hai.
Shambhi Hai. How should it work when we because Vedic society was always split apart into different sections. So, I mean, there's many Vaishyas and Shudras.
You can't do that at present, because firstly, you've got the common theme that everyone's a devotee,
right,
and they all chant Hare Krishna, and we're not big enough for that. It's not necessary for people to live in different places. It's only necessary if they live differently. But if they all follow a brahminical lifestyle, which devotees accepted, what Prabhupada expected devotees to follow, they're all coming to the morning program, they're all chanting 16 rounds, they're all following regulative principles, then everyone can live together. There's no need for that. You need to find as many common points of reference as possible, because you don't have the unifying form of the law to keep everything together. But that's not necessary now, unless the Varnashram extended to where you're engaging people who are also not Krishna conscious, then they should live differently. Or where you got people with different Krishna conscious standards. But that's too dangerous for the people who are trying to be Krishna conscious. And it makes impossibility for schools and children, because children have to have one common.
Why would you say that ISKCON's, so many of the farm projects have failed?
I said that they failed?
No, so what would you say about that, that many of them have failed?
I don't think they failed. I just think we stuck to the principles that Prabhupada gave, or have full faith that we should do that. I don't think the farm projects failed, not the farm projects as Prabhupada defined them, but rather the devotees failed to make the farm projects into what Prabhupada wanted, and there was not enough energy invested in the success of farm projects by ISKCON's leadership. But I don't think it's the farms that failed.
Incompetencies.
Huh?
Is there incompetencies?
Well, mistakes were made, which is natural. But just because we put a lot of emphasis on preaching, then and preaching lifestyle was relatively simple. Living in the temple, brahmacharis, selling books, it's a simple formula. But farm project means community. It means gurukula. It means engaging grihasthas, satisfying them. it's not an easy thing. It's not a path formula. We've got temple life, city temple life down quite well. But this other, we don't. One reason is that Prabhupada spoke about it, but he didn't establish it personally. And so now it's much more difficult in his absence to do so. And devotees haven't necessarily succeeded in doing that. Farms are just a place where these things take place. And Westerners are also really addicted to city living and the type of living that cities offer. And farm living requires a different type of lifestyle.
Many times I just think about what life would be if we didn't have, our lights, our battery-operated clocks, our...
Don't worry, you'll find out in time. It'll happen. I don't have electricity.
I think Prabhupada said that it would be...
It's survivable, it's not... It's not a big thing. These are sort of comforts, luxury. Mm-hmm. When the sun stops shining, then you have problems.
Have this the farm there in Hungary and also the city center. So is that like a joint effort? They're both.
Yeah, we have other. We have more than one temple. But yeah, the farm is a national project. It has to be because it's just in the middle of nowhere, so you can't. You can't make devotees in the middle of nowhere. You can't get finances in the middle of nowhere. It has to be connected. Okay, I'm just going to wipe off, go take prasadam.
Okay.
Continue working until we go.
Thank you so much for your association.
Hare Krishna.